Hey, I'm Tony Perkins. If you're a small business owner, your life is busy. You can't be figuring out every little thing, how to bring in the next client, how to figure out payroll. You don't have the time or the money to have your own secretary to take the calls, but answering all of the calls yourself makes it hard to look professional. Here's something that's going to help you. It's called eVoice. Whether you're a business of one or 100, eVoice will help you manage all of your incoming calls. With a toll-free number, dial-by-name directory, and call routing tools, your business is going to sound like a bustling Fortune 500 company. Even if you can't take a call, eVoice will transcribe the voicemail and email it to you. And with eVoice, you can even try it before you buy it. Right now, just for our listeners, you can get a 60-day trial of eVoice absolutely free. Go to our website, click on the eVoice banner on the top of the page, and insert the code TPGS. Take charge of your business. Go to our website and click on the banner. Insert the code TPGS at checkout for your 60-day free trial. eVoice, a better way to connect.
Stay tuned for a very special episode of the Tony Perkins Show featuring Gary Stein.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. It's the Tony Perkins Show featuring Gary Stein. No, they're not related. They're just good friends. It's Tony and Gary.
Ba-da-da.
Louis Armstrong,
it is.
Did you notice that we were quiet for most of it this time?
Yeah.
Because we just wanted to sort of hear our theme song.
Yes.
And then you jumped in with scat.
Yes. But I like our theme song.
I love
very
it.
Much. Me too.
I love it.
And now this time in listening to it,
yeah.
I was thinking this would be a great TV theme song. If we do a TV show, like an entertainment TV show,
yes.
This would be a great theme for it.
I've always been a big fan of Neil Hefti.
I like Neil Hefti.
Well, this is not, but you know, it's wrote the Batman theme song.
Yeah, this is very Neil Hefti-ish.
Yes, yes.
Yes, yeah. I don't know. Some of you, you know what? Our listeners know Neil
It's
Hefti.
Very hefty in like the Neil Hefti feel.
Yes. H-E-F-T-I, Neil Hefti.
That's our show.
Thank you very much. By the way, yeah, you are listening to a show. Thank you, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. Hello, I'm Tony Perkins.
Hi, I used to be Gary Stein.
He still is. And this is the Tony Perkins Show starring Gary Stein.
Starring?
Wow.
Starring?
Yeah.
Hey,
yes.
Man.
Yes.
That's
why
very
not?
Nice of you.
I like to, you know, every now and then I want to mix it up.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes I call it the Tony and Gary Show.
Yeah.
You know, it's just...
No, I love that every once in a while you lie.
It has evolved.
It's evolved,
as they
yes.
say. Yes. Yes. Welcome to the broadcast. Oh, not a broadcast. Welcome to the podcast,
yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen. And we've got a great show planned for you today.
It's chock full, you know.
It is chock full. Well, I imagine it's going to be chock. Here's what I predict.
Well, we know why it's going to be chock full. There's history.
Here's what I predict. We have a list of things that we want to do here. I suspect we won't get to many of them.
I don't think we're going to get to any of it.
Well, we'll get to some of it. We're saying this because our guest today, listen, if you know me and my history, you know that we go way back. I didn't start on radio with this guy, but the first significant radio job I had was at WKYS 93.9 from 1985 to 1993, working as the producer and then the on-air sidekick to Mr. Donnie Simpson.
Yay!
Yeah! Yes.
You know, another icon, really.
He really is.
He is an icon.
He really is. And this is why I'm so excited that he's here today, because literally every day I am not making... If I'm out in public... Then someone during the course of a day is going to ask me, how's Donnie? What's Donnie doing?
And what is Gary Stein really like?
Right. Well, yes, they do ask that too. Or they tell me what they think you're like.
Oh, that's not good. That's not good.
That guy's a real no.
I hope you stick up for me.
That's an act. It's only an act.
Yes.
So Donnie Simpson, who has not been on the radio, we'll ask him when he gets here. It's got to be like 4 or 5 years at this point.
Yes.
Yeah. Facebook. He's on Facebook. And I don't even know how many followers he has at this point. It is huge.
Well, I think it's still true that people all these years later can't believe that Donnie Simpson walked away from radio.
That's
I don't
right.
think people would believe that he would do that.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And he's been gone for a significant period of time. He still lives in the area. He pops up on things every now and then. We have him on Channel 5. In fact, I feel bad because for a while we were only calling him when someone famous died that he knew.
Oh, no.
So we had him on when Michael Jackson died, when Whitney Houston died. Eventually he said, man, don't just call me when people are dead.
Yeah.
He's got a stat from the stat department.
Yes? Yeah, what's the stat?
357,000 Facebook followers.
Isn't that amazing?
We're almost there.
357,000. And he's great on Facebook, very engaging with everybody. I think that's his main form of communication with people now. So you're going to hear from him for the first time in years for some of you here on the show.
Before people knew him on radio, though, didn't they know him on TV as like one of the forerunners of
BET Video Soul,
right,
which was on for 14 or 15 years. He had everybody on that show. If you were a big black act, and frankly, even some of them, I remember he had Eric Clapton on the show.
Was he black?
At the time, he was.
Really?
It was
he changed.
A little known phase that Clapton went through, and he regrets it now.
He and Jeff Beck.
Jeff Beck as well. Yeah. Good name.
Yeah.
Both very big and very black.
Right. Anyway, I will say no more because I don't want to ruin things. Donnie will be here in just a few minutes, actually. He's already here.
He is?
Yeah, he's outside.
Wow.
I mean, he's outside the studio, not outside.
We're making him stand outside until we're ready for him.
We don't do that to our guests.
Not to anyone.
Listen, want to tell you a couple of things. Number one, hey, thank you for all you do for us, for listening, the 5-star reviews and all that kind of stuff. We are now making a real push to have you follow us on Twitter, at T-Perk Show. We want to get those numbers up. We do provide extra content there at times, and we're very active on it. So follow us on Twitter. Tell your friends as well. And don't forget to tell your friends to subscribe to us at iTunes Podcasts, who've been so nice to us lately.
Oh,
how about those folks?
Wow.
Yeah. Featuring us a couple of weeks ago with the Ringo Starr show.
You can't buy that.
You can't buy it.
It's called Premium iTunes Placement.
That's absolutely
where
right.
Where they scroll a banner, and we had that going with Ringo.
That's right, man. And you know what? We got to give Rob Ford a round of applause because he pitched that.
He did.
He was the one who pitched that to iTunes and said, hey, and talked us up.
You know what? This
thank
is,
you, Rob.
I got to say, absolutely, because of what you did, I think your job is secure for 2 more weeks.
Wow. That's better than 1 week.
Right. And it's better than Gary. So.
That's right.
Wow. Okay, I'm out of here.
One other reminder, coming up in just a couple of weeks now, the lovely, the talented Sarah Partridge, jazz singer extraordinaire.
Yes.
Going to be performing at Blues Alley. Gary and I are hosting that appearance by Sarah because you have a connection to her.
I do.
What
I
is
do.
That again?
I met her once in L.A. a long time ago and then decided to marry her.
Yes. Your lovely bride.
Yes.
Performing at Blues Alley, the Primo Jazz Club in Washington. Special performance Thursday, June 4th. I'm actually taking off work that night.
I can't believe you're doing that, but because you're you, I actually get it.
Yes.
We are doing it for Sarah.
Yes.
But also, and I've said this very clearly with Sarah, we would love an opportunity to meet some of our friends and fans
right.
from the area.
That's right.
We're hoping you all come out. We really want to talk to you.
Please don't let us down. If you don't turn out, we are going to be so sad and bitter.
Yeah, and then Sarah won't sing.
Yeah, it's going to be an ugly night. It'll turn into a free-for-all.
And all the fans that are just there to hear good jazz music will have to suffer through just the bad shtick.
Our shtick is going to be limited.
Yeah, no, it's not.
Limited shtick. We should. You know what? We should point that out.
You know what? I almost would say that we're going to be shtickless.
Shtickless, well.
Which is sounds like a Jewish word.
It does. Well, you know, he's shtickless.
Yeah.
So that's June 4th. www.bluesalley.com for ticket information and all of that.
Yes, and something just comes to mind.
What's that?
202-337-4141 is the number for Blues Alley. Did you get that or did I stumble?
You stumbled. Can
a little
you tell
bit?
It? Tell it to me again, please.
202-337-4141.
And I can call Blues Alley, and if I call that number and say, for example, I'd like to see Sarah Partridge on June 4th, they can help me with that.
Yes, as long as you say I'd like to make reservations for 20.
Well, boy, you're making it a little harder on them.
I'm sorry. Just, you know what, folks? Just show up. It's going to be a great night.
It will be great. Before we bring Donnie in, we got to mention tomorrow, the week that this show is airing is Mother's Day week.
Yeah.
Tomorrow is Mother's Day.
We celebrate it every day.
Right. Well, we do, actually. And tomorrow's Mother's Day. So I know that my mom listens. I know your mom listens.
Yes.
Happy Mother's Day, moms.
Yes.
Yes.
To all you mothers.
Yeah. You had to go in that direction?
Just a little bit.
Right. Oh, what are we at? Oh,
what's
I
this?
Love this song.
What is it?
Oh, I love this song. This is The Intruders, Rob Ford.
Well, are you intruding? I mean, how did you just put that in? Is that a Mother's Day
it's
song?
It's a mother song. I'll always love my mother.
Oh.
Okay, wait. This is The Intruders, I'll Always Love My Mother.
Oh, you must be playing this because you want an inheritance.
My voice was kind of squeaky. Inheritance? Listen to this.
My mama, she's my favorite girl.
Me in this world.
Sometimes I feel
you know, do you know this song?
I know this song, but there's something a little creepy to me about this.
Why?
It sounds a little bit like you love your mother, and it could be a little bit more than just, you know, a peck on the cheek. It makes me uncomfortable.
When he says she's my favorite girl, there's a little bit of, I've never really noticed
there's
that.
A little too much glee in his voice. You know, it's like, oh, my mama's here.
Yeah,
I've never called my mom a girl.
No,
she's my girl.
I do wonder if they edited out verses and said, you know, this is going in a weird direction.
Yeah, really? You know what? Especially if the mom's backing up. You know?
I can imagine the extended dance mix they would play in the clubs.
Right, that's right. People dance like, what? What did he say? What?
And if it is an extended dance mix, I rest my case.
Oh, man.
Rob Ford, good pull, though.
Oh, thank you.
Good pull. Yeah,
good pull, Rob.
It was a good pull.
Yes.
And Donnie, who's going to come in a minute, we used to play that song, so he likes that song. That's good stuff,
very
man.
Cool.
Very, very good.
You're already just like sucking up to Donnie and putting music on that he likes.
No.
You don't put music on I like.
This guy.
Usually people are still living.
Are you nervous because he used to be your boss?
No, I don't think of him that way at all. He was my boss, but you know, it became a friendship. We're 30 years into this friendship.
He told me he let you go. You never gave me the details.
I guess
you don't know Donnie.
I guess you don't know Donnie.
You know Donnie.
I know Bo.
Yeah.
I know Donnie, and I've met him.
Have you been drinking? Yes, I have met him. I remember.
If I have been drinking, it's a first. So I met him, and I'm trying to get to something here. You're just not letting me. I remember that Donnie's not shy.
That is correct.
Donnie has a story or two.
That is correct.
Yeah. I don't think he runs out. Let me just ask something. Am I going to be sitting here? Just like sitting here?
No, I don't want you to do that. No, you'll be fine.
He has more stories.
Yeah.
I mean, I only met him for a little bit.
Yeah.
And I was riveted, but I didn't speak.
He's had quite the career.
But don't you think it's a good idea that we get him in fast?
Yeah,
because
I think you're right. There are a lot of stories.
This is going to bleed over to the next show.
Yeah, it won't be like that. Let's bring him in, Rob.
Here he comes.
All right.
The Tony Perkins Show, featuring Gary Stein.
Ah, yes, here we go. Boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, joining us in our humble little studio, the man, the myth, the legend, Donnie Simpson is here. Yeah.
Wait, is that Donnie's song?
It's one of Donnie's songs.
Yeah, I was wondering what I had to do with that.
I thought
Marvin Gaye was getting ready to come in. I was like, this show is going to be better than I thought. We got Marvin Gaye, Luther Vandross, John Lennon.
Generally, we don't have any live people.
Right,
everyone
that's right.
is dead.
We've actually, it's funny, we've talked about doing that show, having a seance, having someone come in.
Are you kidding me?
Getting Luther, John Lennon, everybody on.
Well, y'all push the envelope here, don't you?
Hey, who says we can't get stars?
That's right. Donnie, welcome. We are very happy to have you here.
Wow, man, I'm thrilled to be here.
We've wanted you here for a long time.
Wow, yeah. Well, thank you, Gary.
We've built up to this. You know, in the back of my mind, I've kind of thought, because when I first started doing this, almost a year ago, last August, I was thinking, got to get Donnie on. But I wanted to make sure it's got to be right. We got to know what we're doing, et cetera, et cetera.
When's that going to happen?
Yeah, I couldn't wait that long. So,
so here we are.
Yeah, we are.
That's funny.
We'll have you back when we get it right, too.
Oh, man. Well, I'm thrilled to be here. I really am. And, you know, I mean, Tony, you know, all the years we spent working together, man, this is like riding a bicycle.
Yeah. I mean, we see each other every now and then. We have dinner, lunch, whatever. But being in a studio with the headsets on and a microphone, it's kind of funny because we haven't done it in so long.
I know. Yeah. Long time, man.
I got to ask you something because he talks about this all the time and he's told me from his perspective, but I got to hear it from you.
Okay.
He tells me how he launched your entire career. And I I love the story, but tell me how he got you started in radio and TV on BET.
Wow, he's all of that.
Boy. Yeah.
Wow.
How'd that happen?
I don't remember. I'll have to check my notes.
Yeah, I think Gary's confused. It would be the opposite, really.
Yes, exactly. He gives you a lot of credit.
Well, you know, I've always said this, and I don't just say it in front of Donnie. I was very fortunate in that I started doing stand-up comedy in 1983, I think it was. And we met in 1985 at a comedy club. Donnie was the number one guy in Washington radio, WKYS at the time, number one morning show. And we have a mutual friend, Jeff Newman, who we've mentioned on this show before, who called me one day. I went to college with Jeff. Jeff was...
AU in the house.
That's right.
Yeah. Or do they say that at AU? Is that too far?
No. You could say AU.
And but do they go in the house?
In the house.
That's kind of for
don't
AU.
Think,
I mean, the kids I see walking around AU.
I can say it, but I don't even sound right saying it.
No, you don't.
But Jeff,
would I sound right?
No.
Not at all.
You'd sound better than me, though. Jeff was Donnie's producer at BET and was an engineer at WKYS, right? Or was he on the air?
No, yeah, he was on the air. I'd hired him as a part-time DJ.
Okay. All right. And Donnie was looking for a producer and a comedian, ideally. Right. And Jeff said, I know the guy.
Yep.
Jeff called me, said, would you be interested in maybe working or meeting Donnie Simpson?
The
and maybe
guy wasn't available?
Yeah, the other guy wasn't available. And I listened to Donnie. I was a fan. So I was like, wow, sure. Yeah, I mean, that's great. I just happened to be in town this weekend doing a comedy show at the Comedy Cafe. And you and Pam came out and saw the show. One of the best shows I ever had. I'm serious. In my entire comedy career, just happened to be one of the best shows I ever had that Donnie came. And I don't know if you remember this. You offered me the job that
right
night.
There. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was great. And get this, offered me the job. I wanted the job, but I don't know if you remember. I said, I would love to, but I'm booked. It was February 85.
Uh-huh.
I said, I've got bookings. I'm going to be on the road a lot, blah, blah, blah. And you said, I'll wait. And I think we started in May of 85.
I'm easy like that, man.
Well, you know, it's amazing.
You're something.
Yeah. It's because not everyone would say that.
Well, is that all it takes? Because I'm there.
Oh,
You know, when I got the job with Tony at Good Morning America, he told me I had to pay him.
Well, that was the beginning of a beautiful relationship.
Yeah, I'm telling you, really was, man. Yeah. You know, I just dug you straight off. I mean, obviously, you know, that first night.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was just a cool relationship. You were always so, you're just always easy to work with, Tony. One thing I always tell people is that, you know, with you, the difference with the other people that I worked with through the years was that I could make you laugh.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I'm not a comedian. I mean, that's what you do, and Chris Paul and the other people I've worked with through the years, that's what you do. But you would just lose it sometimes. You know, John Irving, I mean, we would all, everyone could make everyone laugh. And to me, that was the magic. The laughter, as you all know, is contagious. Mm-hmm. But when everyone's laughing, it was just so natural.
Yep. Yep.
You know, I've worked with other people who only laugh at what they write.
You know? Or what they say.
Right.
Exactly. Right. That's right. That's right. Well, and now you hear this, Gary, because I said this to Gary earlier today. I said, Donnie is not a comedian. Donnie doesn't think he's funny, but he's one of the funniest people I've ever known.
Wow.
And at the radio station, if there's one memory that I have, if there's one image in my head from the years that we worked together, it's laughing.
Yeah,
it is
laughing.
Being doubled over in laughter in that radio studio.
Listen to what I just talked about. That's the first thing I talk about immediately. That's what comes to mind when I think about the years we spent together. Laughing.
Yep.
You know, and that, how good is that to laugh and get paid for it?
Absolutely right.
You know, I mean, that's just great stuff, man.
The thing that I hear most from people who say, oh, I used to listen to you guys, I loved when you guys were together, is people who always say, and I'm sure you hear this, I would be late to work sometimes, sitting in my car, laughing at you guys laughing.
I never heard that. Yeah. Usually I say, laughing at you, Donnie. That Tony guy, he was okay.
Right.
He was laughing with us. No. Yeah, but no, that's what I hear too, yeah, you know, yeah, which is great.
I laugh at everything that Tony says just so that he keeps me here. Some of it's not funny.
Yeah, right. Oh, I understand. That's what we do in radio. We laugh.
That's right. That's
we
right.
laugh. We laugh a lot. It keeps you employed.
Very true. Very true. Here's the great thing. One of the great things about you, and one of the reasons I wanted to have you on, was because people, again, when I see people, how's Donnie? I'm sure I get asked that every day. Mm-hmm. How's Donnie? And what's he doing? And you're very much in touch with everybody and your listeners. You're very active on your Facebook page, which is fantastic. I want to mention something from that in just a moment. But how long have you been off radio now?
5 years.
5 years.
Yeah, it was 5 years this past January.
Wow. Mm. And people still, they remember everything that you've done, whether it was on KYS, 15-year run at KYS. How many years at PGC?
17.
17 Ooh. Years. You've had three radio jobs, right?
Yep, that's it.
Three. Now, this is in an industry. Rob Ford has probably worked at more radio stations. He's 24.
I love his name, but. And I feel like a bullet in the gun of Robert Ford.
Yeah. Elton John.
Elton John, right. Oh, man.
Have you ever heard that song?
I haven't. I'll check it out.
Really? Yeah. Oh, I love that song, man.
That's an obscure
one. Elton John fanatic.
Yeah. Yeah. So JLB in Detroit.
Yeah.
Right. WKYS here.
Right.
And then WPGC.
That's it.
Number one at all those stations. Yeah. Long runs. You were a kid when you started at JLB.
15.
15 years old.
Yep. 15.
Really? Yeah. Really?
Yep. 15, man.
And didn't you? So you started at night.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, from 8 to midnight.
And wasn't there 8 to midnight, but legally they couldn't employ you.
Yeah, I couldn't work past 10:30.
So what'd you do?
So I used to have to go to, after school, I would go down to the radio station, record my last hour and a half, and then I'd go home, do my homework, have dinner, then go back to the station, go on live from 8 to 10:30, put the tape on and leave. Because I couldn't work past 10:30.
It's unbelievable. At 15, I was learning the back end of the alphabet. I wasn't doing anything.
Right.
You're on radio and.
Yeah, wow. I know. It's crazy, man. You know, for me, it's amazing how quickly things happened, you know. And I tell you, it's one thing that always brings that to mind for me is the fact that I cannot remember my graduation from college.
Mm.
Not at all. I remember. Pam remembers everything, who was there and all. I can't remember anything about it. And the only thing I can come up with is it was because I had so many things going on that it just wasn't that big a deal to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been on the air for 6-7 years or whatever it was.
Yeah.
You know, I was married. Mm-hmm. I had a child, you know. Smoking weed. No.
That's why you can't remember.
That's what I was going to say. I didn't want to bring that up.
No, he's only joking, folks. Yes. He's only joking.
Yes. Nobody here ever partook.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're right. That, in a way, that was the least important of all
things. Well, you were busy living it, you know?
Right. Right. It was like number five on the list of important things going on in my life at that point. It really was.
So when you
I even had a TV show. I don't know if you know this. I had a TV show when I was 16, maybe 17 in Detroit.
A dance show?
Yeah,
or something?
A dance show called The Real Side.
Oh, I don't think I remember this.
Oh, man.
Wow.
It was so bad, my mother wouldn't watch it. It was awful. I'm telling you. It lasted about a month, and I had to bounce from that. I remember we had somebody on the show. Was it Harold Melvin in the Blue Notes? I can't remember. Whoever it was. They were late, and the producer was pissed about that. So as punishment, they would just occasionally pan past them as they were performing and just kind of show the dancers. And I was like, well, what kind of punishment is that for them? The people that are watching don't know they were late. You know, they're like, why the hell aren't they showing the Blue Notes? It was just so stupid to me. And so that's why I bounced from that. But
they threw you under the bus. That's bad.
But see, even then at 17 or whatever, you already were having some understanding of the business and how it works.
Oh, absolutely.
What's stupid and what's not stupid.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's just common sense, you know.
Right.
I mean, it ain't that hard, I don't think.
Now, so when you were 15 on the radio, was it the voice we know now?
Yeah. It my voice changed the summer between seventh and eighth grade.
Was it, was that from shots?
No.
No? No. No hormones or anything like that?
No, it wasn't any of that. Okay. It just, I kind of hated it in a way, to tell you the truth, because the semester before that, I was the only male first soprano in the choir.
Whoa. Oh.
So I got to sit with the girls.
Oh, yes. So
that was great.
That works.
I come back the next semester with this heavy voice, you know, and it was always problematic for me because, you know, teachers would always, I would always get in trouble trying to whisper in the back of the room, and they was, Donnie, you know your voice carries. like, well, I don't know. You know, you just could never whisper. But
right.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for my voice to change. I'm waiting. I'm waiting for it to drop.
Oh, you got some pliers here? I'll figure it out. Well, that all makes it higher.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, well, I'm going to go
it'll
the other
change,
way.
Though. Yeah. It'll change.
Welcome to the show.
You sound like one of the Bee Gees.
Hopefully one of the living ones.
Right. Well, true. Oh. Do you miss radio?
Not at all.
No.
No, I don't.
Really?
I miss the people that I talk to every morning. You know, I definitely miss the people, but it's just, you know, and you know what the last year was like for me, Tony. You know, my career was 40 years of all the fun I could stand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I used to tell everyone, I couldn't wait for Monday morning at 6.
Mm-hmm.
That last year, I couldn't wait for Friday morning at 10.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't wait for it to end. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, and that tells you it's time to go. And that moment always comes, you know, when you know it's time to go. That moment came for me at BET, you know, doing Video Soul for 14 years. But the last 2 years, every night I would drive up New York Avenue to get to BET, and all I could think was, dang, another 40 minutes and you could be at the Bay having dinner with Pam.
Mm,
wow. Every night. That's what I thought. That's where I wanted to be. I didn't. It's time.
Yeah,
didn't want
to
do it anymore.
Now, with BET, was it just that I've done this and enough? Or was it, you know, were there change? Well, there were changes. I remember now. Yeah, there were changes going on at the network, at BET and all of that.
Yeah, well, it was for me, it was more just that it had been, I'd done it for so long. Well, part of the change was that for many years, I did it in the afternoon at 1 o'clock from 1 till 3 live on air, which I love.
Right.
I love live because live made it like radio for me.
Right.
You know, and I just feel like I perform better when it's on the line, when it really counts.
Yep. Right.
You know, when you can't say, all right, well, let's start over.
Yep. Some people do. That's, you know, they thrive in that. Yes.
Yeah, right. And that was me. That's the way I liked it. Well, we started taping it later and doing it at 7 o'clock at night. You know, I do a morning show. That's problematic. There are a lot of nights when I'm getting home at 11 o'clock, you know? And so that probably had a lot to do with why I felt the way that I did. I just preferred it live and earlier, but it had been a long run. It was just,
Time to go.
It was just time.
Radio has, you know, one of the things, and I've told you about the joys of doing this show. You know, it's very freeing. We get to do whatever we want to do and all that kind of thing. And radio, man, it has changed. Listen, all of us in this room used to love radio when it was personalities and exciting and you didn't necessarily know what was coming next. And now it's become such a homogenized corporate thing. That can't have been fun because that began towards the end of your time on
radio. Well,
there's
what
no
it was.
Edge now. Yeah, you know, radio doesn't have any edge to it.
No. It's been stripped of its personality, and that's sad to me. You know, the thing that makes me saddest about where it is now is that, well, Tony, you know the story of Benny and the Jets for me, Elton John, which is a song I started. I mean, I started going to studio. Oh, wow.
We're ready for you,
dang,
Donnie.
Y'all are good.
Hey, Donnie, say anything you want, and it's up.
Boy, if the man is listening, we may get fired after playing this in today's radio. Lord have mercy, this is out of our lane.
Yeah, well, that's what it came down to.
Yeah.
Tell the story.
Right, yeah, but, you know, I played the Elton John song in Detroit. I was a kid. I guess it was
73, 74.
Yeah, because he just celebrated the 40th anniversary of this album.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So that was last year.
Yeah, so
74. So that would have made me 20 years old. And, you know, me and my boy would sit down in his basement. He was another jock. He was on the air before me at JLB in Detroit. And he turned me on to Elton John. So, you know, I'm sitting there listening to this album, and I just love this song. And I kept telling him how much I love this song for like a week. I said, I'm going to play this. I'm going to play. But I was scared to play it because I felt that black folks didn't know Elton John. Mm-hmm. And but then finally, I said, I'm playing it. So that I went on the air that next night, and I played it twice. And the second time I played it was because the phones were jumping off the hook from the first time I played it. I mean, it was. I've never seen anything like it. I'm telling you. The next morning, I get a call at 7:30 in the morning at home from the morning DJ telling me, Donnie, what is this song you played last night? Jenny and the Jets or Nets or something? You know, he said, and I told him what it was. He said, look, you got to bring that to me. You got to bring. I had to get in the car, take it down there to him so he could play it that next morning. In 2 days, Elton was on the phone from London. He called the radio station. He wanted to know, what is going on? I hear Benny and the Jets is breaking black in Detroit. You know, and it was an album cut. Right, this was not a single. He said it was just a tongue-in-cheek song. And it meant nothing to, you know.
Right.
And it turns out to be his biggest-selling single until he redid Candle in the Wind for Lady Di.
That's right.
And but you know, it came to Detroit, presented me with a gold record, held a press conference to present me with a gold record for this. We became friends and... You know, I mean, it was just...
It's amazing.
It's amazing. And so, to get to what I was saying, the saddest thing to me is that there's someone out there now, some young talent, who cannot, will never have the chance to express him or herself musically on a radio show. And I hate that.
Yeah.
You know, there's no freedom. You know, I had total freedom all those years I did radio.
Yes.
You know, I used to sit at home. I mean, from the very beginning, show prep for me was sitting there going through my albums going, I'm going to play this tonight. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do this. Dang, I think I'll play this. Will go good with this, you know, and then go in and do it. Now, everybody's got a computer telling them what to say. Yep. You know, it's sad to me. I just hate that there's no self-expression. And, you know, for me, Tony, you know, when I was a programmer, programming WKYS, the freedom wasn't just for me. I gave jocks freedom to express themselves. I just felt like you're going to perform better if it represents you, if it's your name on it, if it's what you feel, instead of trying to represent me. I don't want you representing
me. But you know what?
You
don't want people to think that you're taking a chance by doing that. You want people to understand that that's the job. They want your taste, your personality, what you're going to bring. You had the foresight to bring a song that you said, I don't know if it's right for our audience, but this gets me. Mm-hmm. And your taste provided that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
That's
right.
Why they have you.
That's right.
Exactly.
Well, that's not true anymore.
Oh, I know.
No, it's
I know.
Not.
Well, to me, that was part of being a DJ.
Yep.
I'm supposed to turn you on the music.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Where is the discovery now?
Right.
There's no more discovery.
No discovery. No discovery.
Right. Yeah. That's exactly right.
It stinks. It stinks. And you know what? Radio, and this began a long time ago, radio has problems now, but they're largely self-created. You know, they would get more and more scared, and, well, no, it's got to be a tight playlist. And here's the crazy thing about radio. In this town, what's the radio station that does Christmas music 24 hours
Wash.
A day when it comes? Wash. Okay. Every Christmas, starting around Thanksgiving or something, they play Christmas music.
I think it's Easter.
That's
their hook. roll with it, man.
That's right. Shoot. That's right. But even with that, they have a tight Christmas playlist. I swear they play the same, it's got to be maybe 35 songs over and over and over again. All the Christmas music that there is out there, they just stick to that same playlist.
Yeah.
And that's what you get on music radio now. No creativity, no experimenting, no saying to the audience, you got to listen to this. I heard this yesterday in a club or whatever. You got to listen to this.
I think that's the way things have been in all ends of this business forever. Everybody tells you they hired you for your unique take on things, your talent, what you bring, your experience. And as soon as you get in, whether it's been TV with us at Good Morning America, radio, whatever, they start to pull you in, homogenize you, and then they wonder why it's not working.
Yep,
and they say, you know, we hired you for you, and we're going, but you didn't let me be me.
Man,
I'm trying to be me.
One morning, I was doing my radio show from New York for a week, and one morning I went to hang out with my boy, Howard Stern, after the show. So me and Howard were sitting there talking, and Howard said, man, isn't it amazing that these people will pay you all this money to do this?
and then want to tell you how to do it. Mm-hmm. Isn't yeah. that the truth?
Yep. Yes.
That's amazing.
Yep.
What did you hire me for?
It's crazy.
Right.
It's crazy.
It is. It's crazy.
And it's not unusual. It's the rule. Yeah. It's not like it happens sometimes.
One of my favorite things about when we used to work together at KISS, Donnie, you know, total freedom. He's the program director. Total freedom in the morning. He would get in a mood and play, like get in a Stevie Wonder mood or a Marvin Gaye mood or a Earth, Wind & Fire, Aretha Franklin, and just say, you know, he'd play one song, it would lead to another song, it would lead to a third song, and end up playing that all morning long mornings.
Right.
And I'd have to get up and run back to the record library. Oh, man, you got to bring me gratitude.
Right.
You know, whatever it is. You know.
No Pat Boone?
Right. No Pat Boone. We played a lot of stuff. We never played Pat.
Right. Getting that Garth Brooks story. We played Garth.
Played Garth Brooks one morning. Yeah. Unbelievable. But those shows where you would just go on and on, they were great. And the phones lit up. And I know I've told you this, speaking of Elton John, I loved it. I thought this is the way to do it. Even I learned something because one morning Donnie got in an Elton mood. He probably played Benny and the Jets. And then you loved Ticking. The song Ticking by Elton John.
Well, I played that for a reason. Ticking, Ticking.
Yeah.
It's a great song.
Right.
Because there was just I don't remember the tragedy, but, you know, the song is about, you know, 14 people lying dead in the kicking mule.
Yeah.
I can't remember the line.
Yeah.
But it's a mass murder event that happens. And that's why I played that particular song.
Yeah.
You know.
It related.
Yeah.
It related. And it was deep.
And it was deep. Right. So
right.
even if you may not know the song, you may not be a big fan of Elton, but it's the setup.
Right. That's
it's the setup. And if I tell you this and this is what this song is about, then you're going to listen with a different set of ears and may appreciate it in a way that you may not have if you weren't told that.
Right.
You know, again, the setup. So,
the presentation. And then there was one morning where you played, you went off.
Black folks don't do songs like that, by the way. You know, I couldn't find a Marvin Gaye song that fit that situation. Black folks don't kill 26 people.
It has to be about someone breaking up with somebody. Right? We got the record.
We only do relationships.
Right.
No.
So
I'm sorry.
One morning, and this was towards the end at KYS, you played Garth Brooks. And again, because it came very naturally, and I should let you tell the story. My memory is you said, all I'm hearing about is Garth Brooks. I want to check this dude out.
This guy's a phenomenon, you know. And who is this guy that when he comes to town is all over the television news, is all over the front page of the newspaper. I went to Billboard magazine. He's got 6 albums on the chart right now in the top 100. 4 of them are on the left side of the chart, meaning top 50.
Mm-hmm.
All of them have this little pyramid behind them, which indicates a million souls with numbers behind that that say 11, 8, 7, that all together he's showing like 63 million sold here on this chart. I need to know who this is.
Mm-hmm.
So last night I went to the record store and bought a couple Garth Brooks albums. I love this dude. I love him. And just, you know, I'm not going to play a lot of it, but I just want you to hear some snippets of Garth Brooks.
Mm-hmm.
This is who he is. And I played just snippets of like 3 songs or something like that. And afterwards, by then I'd given up programming, by the way. I wasn't programming the station anymore. And the program director was furious. And she came to me and, you know, why would you do that? I said, I shouldn't call names, but, you know, you don't talk to me about my show.
Right.
You don't talk to me about my show, you know. But why would you be? I don't have these conversations, you know. I just don't. In every contract I had, that was written.
It's your
total
show.
Control between 6 and 10 of anything that happens when there was 4 hours. So, you know, so she goes to the general manager, and then next thing I know, I'm in a meeting with him and her, and he's you know, she's so upset about it. And I told him the same thing. You know, I don't have these conversations. And so anyway, it ended. And the next day, front page of the style section, there is a huge article on Garth Brooks. Big picture. I mean, it was like 3/4 of the page of the style section. And the article started off with these words. First paragraph, How big is Garth Brooks? He crossed over to the Donnie Simpson show yesterday.
Oh. Isn't it great to win?
I know. Wow. It is. It's like, you know, I've always felt like God watched over me, watched over my career, and I just always felt like he was just like, watch this.
I bet they didn't ask for another
meeting.
It's going
to be so cool. Y'all like music. Just watch
this. Right.
I mean, you can't buy advertising like that.
Absolutely right.
Can't. I mean, you can't.
Yeah. I hate the way of thinking, that, and you see it on TV, and you certainly get it in radio now, where, oh, no, we've got a program to this preconceived notion of what this audience is what they want and what they don't want. When most of us are, you know, fairly well-rounded people with a variety of interests, you hear a lot of different things in the course of life. You can't, you know, you don't know what I might like or might not like.
Our ears are a lot broader than programmers will ever give us credit
for. That's absolutely right.
You know,
absolutely.
And I felt this too, that like with the Garth Brooks thing, that if this 5 minutes of programming or, you know, the wrong song, if one song can ruin this show, then I don't belong here anyway. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't be here. Mm-hmm. You know, I shouldn't be here if this is enough to take me out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, then why do you have me here? You know, that's what I always felt about it.
Yep.
You know, I can't be slave to one song.
Right.
I can't be afraid of that. And I'm not.
And that's what a lot of these executives program out of fear.
There's no question.
Right.
There's no question.
Don't play that. It'll turn somebody off.
And I'll tell you this. One of the greatest compliments that I get, and I get it a lot to this day, is that when people will come up to me and say things like, thanks for broadening my ears, or thanks for introducing me to different musics, and you know, just you know, I love that.
Yeah,
you know, I don't know if we were still, we're still together. When I went to London with Sugar Ray Leonard, me and Ray were over in London for Wimbledon, and same taxi driver would take us to Wimbledon every day. By the way, how cool is this? We're at Wimbledon every day. After Martina Navratilova practices, she plays doubles, me and Martina, against Ray and Billie Jean King.
Oh, my God.
At Wimbledon. What? How good is that?
No, that's
insane.
That's so good.
That's die and go to heaven.
I know. Yeah. It's unbelievable, man.
I can't believe that.
It was incredible. But the same taxi driver would pick us up, and he played this song one day. He was Swing Out Sister.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, damn, I really like this song, man. You know, and I told him that. He went out and picked the next morning. He had the CD for me.
Wow.
And so I brought that back and played it here.
Yeah.
You know, thing blew up.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
It blew up. That's the kind of, you know, I mean, you know, when I used to travel, I always listen, I always wanted music. I always wanted to hear stuff, you know, to bring back, even if it was in a different city. Mm-hmm. But even that's gone. Now, I don't mean just traveling internationally, but you could go to a different city because it used to all be so different.
Right,
I remember when the wheels down, man, Transistor Radio out for me. I wanted to hear what Houston sounded like, what music they were playing in New Orleans or Chicago,
because
it might be something different I could take back to D.C. or Detroit. You know, I love it. Now,
it's the same
wheels
thing.
Down, and in 5 minutes, I go, oh, that's smooth jazz.
Right, yes,
you know, it's all the same.
It's terrible.
It's just,
it's terrible.
And I miss that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I miss that. I understand from the other side, from the owner's position, I understand that it makes it a lot cheaper, you know, with syndication and with having one programmer decide all the music and generating a playlist for 40 stations instead of having someone to do that for each individual station. You know, I mean, I understand that, but I don't like it.
Yeah. And you know what? I understand it too, but you get what you pay for.
Absolutely.
You get what you pay for.
There's no doubt about
it. Are, you know, you get the lower numbers, the ever diminishing audience, because you're not giving them anything that they're going to be excited about.
Yeah, right,
You're not giving them something to be excited about.
But I will say this in their defense too. I'm, you know, trying to look at the other side, is that, as you know, advertising dollars have, a lot of those have gone to the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's problematic for them, that the revenue numbers are not what they used to be.
Right.
So they have to find ways to cut.
Right. Right.
You know, they do, or they're not profitable. So, you know,
you can see both sides of it.
Yeah. Well,
what would you be?
That's what I do. I walk down the middle. So understanding. You mean noncommittal?
Yeah. I want to ask you a couple of personal questions because I know just a
boxers. Yeah, no, you, no, not you, that no you're going to get a tired old
and
personal
you don't mean Sugar Ray.
Yeah. Right now.
We know you're not talking that.
That's funny.
Your daughter, Dawn,
yeah,
just got married. Yeah. And on Facebook, you wrote, it was beautiful, about the day and
you,
the ceremony and everything that happened and the tears that flowed and all that kind of stuff. DJ's already married. He's been married for a few years now. You have grandchildren, which is hard for people to believe. Talk a little bit about what that day.
Okay.
First of all, I can't believe, you know,
this little girl you knew for so many years, or have known for so many years.
It's amazing. But
first thing I want to say is when you say tears flowed, you know, in the black community, we can't say it like that. We can't say, you know, I had a tear in my eye, or, you know, or like Snoop, tear dropped my eye, or, you know, something like that. Some, you know, a little harder than tears flowed.
You're
that's
right.
That's so Tony.
Yeah.
That's so Tony.
I got choked up or something, you know. Any of that.
I found it very moving.
You're right. Right. It was very emotional, Donnie.
Yes. Yeah, right. Yes. So with that said, I cried like a baby. Man, please. It was, you know, wow. The biggest cry I had was actually the day of the rehearsal, the day before, you know, before we even got to the aisle. Mm-hmm. Just wow, this is getting ready to happen. You know, man, I just cried. But the day of the wedding, I got down the aisle, okay. And but then when I got to the altar, Dawn was crying. And, you know, I'm standing, I don't know what to do, you know, because I've got her arm locked in mine, and I don't know if I'm supposed to move. And, you know, so finally I kind of looked at her and motioned, like, towards my pocket. She want a tissue? And she said, yeah. And so I got a tissue and gave it to her and then got back in position real quick. And then just see her crying, just started flowing, man. And then when the pastor said, who gives this woman away? And it was my turn. He told me I could ad lib. Shouldn't have told me that. but it was short, you know. But instead of I do, or, you know, me, or I said, me and my beautiful childhood sweetheart of 41 years, who's standing right there. Because Pam was her matron of honor, my wife.
Yeah.
And so it was really cool. And then when I turned around to leave and leave the altar, and I saw my granddaughter, Nora, who's 7, crying. Oh, my goodness. I was just, man, I was a mess. But it was an incredible day for me. As I said, that night at the reception, when it was, you know, Papa's turn to speak,
right,
that this was the greatest day of my life. You know, I say that with my son sitting there, but I've explained this to him before, you know, that seeing your son get married is one thing. Your daughter is a whole different level of joy.
For
it
dad.
Is because, for dad. Yeah. Because, you know, like I told him, I said, DJ, look at you, man. 6'3", strong as an ox. Mm-hmm. You know, you can take care of yourself. For her whole life, that's been my charge. Mm-hmm. You know, now I turn that over to another man. Mm-hmm. That's deep.
Yeah.
You know, that's a really deep moment. And I so that night I said, this is that I've never felt a joy like this before. And will never feel it again. Mm-hmm. This is the moment. Mm-hmm. Today. That's it.
Wow.
I will never feel this level of joy again.
Right.
You know, I can't imagine it would be that when my granddaughter gets married or something.
No,
that's
DJ's daughter.
Charge.
Right,
that's you know, right. It's just different. It's just different.
When you handed her over, did you take that moment at the altar to tell him what would happen if he didn't treat her the way you do?
No. I have my boy Charlie standing behind me. Charlie.
Charlie can handle that.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't want that to go wrong.
But, you know, people always make that joke, and I get it. That's great. But you know what? With this guy, you don't have to come like that.
Mm-hmm.
John is one of the nicest people I've ever met in my life. And as I said that night at the reception, and I meant this with all my heart, that had I searched this entire earth for a husband for my daughter, this is the guy I would have brought back.
Wow.
And I mean that.
Wow.
I would. He is incredible. He's just the nicest person. And, you know, his family is so nice. And just, just really, really wonderful people. And I just, you know, as I said that night too, that since Dawn brought him into her life, that I've met so many wonderful people as a result of that.
Mm-hmm. I had a very similar situation because when I got married, my father-in-law said I would pick just about anybody else. you are not the guy that we see.
So it's similar, but completely different.
It's similar. It's similar, but it has nothing to do with your story at all because we never spoke. Just never spoke.
Wow, that is sad. If I recall, there's some truth to that.
There's a lot of truth to it. Yeah.
Wow.
Ultimately, I won.
Yeah.
Ultimately, I won. It's been 22 years.
Did his wife
feel
the same way? Your mother-in-law?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Yes.
It was,
yes,
it was across the board. Yeah.
Right. But now she thinks I'm wonderful.
Oh,
and,
really?
Yeah.
Well, you know what they say. Behind every successful man is a shocked mother-in-law.
Well, there's a lot of truth to that.
Right. And then, so you've updated us on Dawn. DJ, and I think a lot of people know this, you know, I know we've done a feature on DJ on Fox 5 and his Uprising. What's the property? It's Uprising Bakery or
Uprising Muffin Company.
Muffin Company.
Uprising Muffin Company.
So for those who don't know, now this is it's interesting because he had been talking about this for years, and I really thought that DJ would end up, you know, maybe following in your footsteps in terms of radio, and he had a big interest in music, is talented musically and all that kind of stuff. But then as the business kind of just crumbled and isn't what it, you know, he turned his interest to this. So tell folks about this and the success of this shop.
Yeah, well, he just opened a year ago. As a matter of fact, the first year anniversary was on the day that Dawn got married.
Wow.
April 11th.
Wow.
But he's doing gangbusters, man. The shop is doing really, really, really well. And I'm so proud of him. I don't know if I can say this, but I'm saying it. I'm dad. He's like Bill Clinton. We'll try to shut him down. But
hey, don't edit yourself on this show. This is not the place to do that.
But he's looking at a second location already, and you know, I mean, his goal—he's going after Starbucks.
Wow!
And you know, and I love that. It's like, well, one down, about 43,000 to go. but you know, I like people with big eyes, and he has big eyes, and I love that. And I take some credit for that, I think, because I've tried to always teach my kids to think big, you know, to see big, you know. The fact that, you know, they've been to Michael Jackson's house, and that was always important to me, stuff like that, that, you know, I would always take them with me to meet these different people for two reasons. One was so that you could see that this person is real, okay? So once you realize that, then two sets itself up, meaning that you could also do this. Because this person's human. It's not some superhuman, you know.
Right. It's not magic. Right.
It's not magic. No. This is hard work and dedication to something that they love, you know. So anyway, DJ's doing very well. The shop, I'm so proud of him. That last year with me in radio was just as awful for him as it was for me.
They worked together
even more
last year.
Yeah, he was my producer.
Yeah, I've learned. You may see something here, Gary. I've learned a lot from Donnie.
Yes,
there are a couple of stories that I tell people as if they're my stories, but they're funny. I always say these are Donnie stories. I probably don't tell them very well because I didn't live them. And I want to try to jog your memory to see if you can tell these stories. They're just quick little things. Mm-hmm. One is about you were younger. You were still in Detroit. You went to a concert. It was a female performer. I don't remember. I always say I think it was Etta James. I don't know if you ever saw Etta James.
Dang, I ain't that old, bro. Dang, Etta James. At last. Wow.
Well, okay. It was someone. Dang. But
it was Cab Calloway.
Yeah, really?
The moon glows and Etta James.
Alberta Hunter.
Now that's a lineup. That's a show. Dag nabbit. It was someone performing, and she does a couple of songs, and she mistakenly says, okay, yeah, do you remember this?
Yeah.
And what you can use the language.
Okay, wait a minute. I got to take
See, I never remember who it was.
Oh, man. I can't call her name.
Josephine Baker.
No. I'll think of it in a minute, but whatever. She did her first, she comes out, does her first song, and then she comes in. It's, man, it's so nice. This is when I was in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
She says, it's so nice to be back in Chicago. Somebody yell, you in Detroit, bitch! I loved it. It was so funny, man. But let me give you the funniest one for the stuff I just told somebody this last night. As a matter of fact, the funniest thing I ever saw on stage. It was early with Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes when Teddy Pendergrass was still with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I Miss You was their hit, that first major hit that they had. And that's a long, 8-minute long song. Teddy does this rap in the middle. And so they're at this club in Detroit called Ben's High Chaparral. Big club, probably 1,500 people or something like that. So Teddy's doing the rap, and he steps out front with that little attitude, and he goes, all you ladies out there, I want to know, what would you do with me if I was your man? Sister from way in the back yelled out, I'd beat your mother f- ass! Man, Teddy drops his head, and he just kind of takes 2 or 3 steps back and just kind of, he puts his hand on his mom and just laughs. You know? It's like, you better recognize where you at. This Detroit.
That's right. That's right.
You ask me a question, I'm going to tell you the answer.
I can turn in a minute. I love it. The thing I love about both of them is you're obviously a fan of this person.
Right.
You paid money to come see him.
But you're not afraid to say what you think.
You're in Detroit, bitch.
Yeah, that's right.
That's great.
They keep it real, man.
Yeah.
That's keeping it real, bro.
There's another story, and again, you might not want to tell this one. Your life has been so
I can tell
remarkable and amazing.
Bruce told his last night. I'll tell mine.
That was a story.
Where's Diane Sawyer?
That was a story. You had the great opportunity to attend the Grammy Awards with your good friends Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, who had been nominated for Producer of the Year.
Right. Okay. Yeah, right. So they took me to the show with them. And so we're sitting there. It's just, Jimmy wasn't married at the time. So it was me, Terry, and his wife, and Jimmy Jam.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're sitting there, and we'd had this discussion much earlier about who should be Producer of the Year. And we'd all agreed that it should be Babyface.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because Babyface had an incredible year. I can't remember
maybe it was
who
Tony
he had
Braxton
that year
or whatever. Yeah,
L.A. and Babyface,
I should say.
I'm sorry. Yeah, maybe Tony Braxton and New Edition. It could have been just a lot of stuff. It was just an incredible year for them. And, and that's part of what I always loved about Jimmy and Terry. I mean, Babyface is the same way. Conversation's always so honest, you know, that even though you're in the running for this,
this is his year.
You know, and so anyway, we're sitting there, and finally that moment comes when it's time to announce the Producer of the Year. So they go through the nominees, and the winner is, and they announced whoever it was, and I can't remember his name.
I think it was Peter Asher.
Is that who it was?
It was Peter Asher.
Some white dude I'd never heard of. So as soon as they announce it, I go, oh my God, can you believe this? The dude in front of me gets up. His wife turns around and shoots a look at me that I still see. Lord, oh my God, she cut me. Oh.
As he goes to the stage.
As he goes to the stage to get his award. I had no idea that was a dude sitting in front of me, man.
Oh, my God.
And this is at the Grammys.
That's the Grammys.
This guy's moment.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah, his moment. That's the first thing that happens after his moment.
is this dude behind him saying, man, can you believe this crap?
So Donnie goes, I like Mac Davis.
Who's Mac Davis? Is that Return of the Mac?
No, different Mac Davis. I think it was Peter Asher winning for a Linda Ronstadt album. Was that, or something.
Really?
I think, yeah, it was one of those.
Well, they should have said all that.
Yeah.
I know who she is. No.
And one other one. Donnie plays golf every day. Do you still play every day when it's the season?
Well, pretty much.
Pretty much, yeah.
I slowed down a little bit. It's like 5 days a week. Seriously.
Right. Instead of seven for 12 hours a day.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. Right. So it belongs to a couple of country clubs. And, you know, these places are fantastic. They take good care of you and all that kind of stuff. One of the clubs you belong to, they even got to the point where, you know, you go in for lunch and they would prepare whatever you wanted, including at this one club, you loved the fried chicken that this guy would fix for you, the cook would fix for you. And then you had a situation where you brought some friends in.
Right.
See, I remember this.
Are you sorry he knows too much?
Gary always says, I always remember these particular instances, and these are just such, they're so funny.
Yeah.
So, if you don't mind. So,
yeah, a couple brothers, you know, from one of my other clubs, we go out to play, and this is the first time they're at my club, and it's really a very exclusive club. It's Robert Trent Jones here in the D.C. area, and really, it's just a beautiful place. So, they come out, and we play the first nine, or maybe we played 18, went inside. And to have lunch. And the waiter comes out, and so he says, so are you guys going to have the fried chicken?
That's not good.
So they're cool, you know, because it's, you know, it's exclusive, and they're trying to be cool, and so they don't say anything, you know. And then, so we take the orders or whatever, and then we all went to the bathroom. I don't know why we did that. So as soon as we got out in the bathroom, we go, so Donnie, man, what was up with the fried chicken? You got, man? And I laughed so hard because I knew they were thinking it. I know they had to be thinking it, you know. I had to explain it to them. No, man, that's, you know, that's just, you know.
They're just catering it because this is what you wanted. What, you like it.
Right. That's, you know, they kind of do that for me, you know.
That's great. That's great stuff.
Yeah, man. But you know, can I tell them a quick story about you, Tony Burns? It's cool.
As long as we can use it on him, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, it's nothing. It's nothing. But I remember one day I was talking to Tony, and this is recent years, last 3-4 years, and I was just talking. What we were talking about was just cool stuff that has happened to us during our career. And I was telling Tony, like, the time that you flew on a private plane from New York to Los Angeles with Michael J. Fox. And he's like, what? He didn't even remember it. And then, you know, I said, yeah, you don't. And finally he said, oh, wow, yeah, right. And I said, you know what, Tony? That's when you know life has been good.
Yeah.
When you can forget some cool ass stuff like that.
You're right.
Life, absolutely. Your career has been amazing.
It has
when you
been.
Don't even remember that.
Yep.
That's incredible.
That's true.
That's when you know you've been blessed.
Yep.
The other day I was looking at some old pictures. This is the honest to God's truth. You know, you collect pictures when you're with celebrities and all that kind of stuff because it's a cool moment. I have a picture. I should show it to you, Gary, because maybe you can answer it for me. It's a picture of me and apparently Sean Connery.
Okay.
Who, I love Sean Connery.
One of the great black actors of all time.
No, this is Sean, S-E-A-N. Right, yeah, you're thinking of Sean Combs. Well, that's E-A-N too. Anyway, it's Sean Connery, and I looked at the picture and I thought, I don't think I've met Sean Connery.
Wow.
And I look at it, I honestly can't remember if it's Sean Connery and I met him on occasion, or if it's his wax figure at Madame Tussauds.
You know,
well, you know what that, what that tells you, you've been lying to a lot of people for a lot of years.
I got
to
say
that. I met Sean Connery.
That brings up all kinds of problems. that memory, you know. Right.
Here's me and Amelia Earhart. I was on the plane when it went down. Oh, no, that's Brian Williams.
Those are flames. Flames.
That's right.
You're a flamethrower.
You've got your journalists confused.
Oh, wow. I can tell you one thing. Sean Connery did Good Morning America. We were there.
Okay, so it was him. Wow.
We also went to Madame Tussauds Wax Museum, and we made believe we were interviewing celebrities.
Did we? So
yes.
Maybe it was.
So I think it could have been both.
I've never posted the picture because I've never wanted to say definitively this is me with Sean Connery.
Yeah.
In case someone writes back says, "You fool, that's a wax figure."
Yeah, that
here's
could
my
be the
picture.
End of it for
right.
you.
That's yeah. right. You're right.
After Brian Williams, you
that's
can't.
Right.
Yeah.
So
right.
Well, the telltale sign was the wick in his head. Yeah. Tony went up and lit it. That was not Sean Connery.
Wick in his
head. Oh, that's funny.
You were right about one thing. I've had a very blessed, wonderful career.
And it's over.
Hopefully it's not over. And that is largely due to you. You're one of my best friends. We've shared a lot. But you really, my life changed in May 1985 when I started working with you. Oh. I view that time as the start of everything that has happened for me since then. It was a great joy working with you. We got to have a lot of fun, and I learned a lot from you, too. And you mean the world to me. And I'm so glad you're here today.
Wow.
I really, really
thank you, man. Well, you mean the world to me, too. You know, friends are hard to come by.
Yes.
Friends of many years, of decades.
Yeah.
You know, and I cherish that, man. You know, I'm glad God put us together.
Me, too.
And
I am, too. Donnie, don't come back.
Don't worry.
Don't worry. Oh my God!
I couldn't take the love fest. I'm sorry.
I'm glad God put us together too.
Me
that
too.
Is very
yeah.
true.
Me too.
Very true.
He's changed my life completely.
Yeah. Well, Tony's a great guy, man. I'm just so proud of everything that's happened for you. You know, I remember when you went to Good Morning America, and I remember talking to you. I don't know if you remember this, but the night before you started, that Sunday night we talked, and you were so nervous and everything about it. It's just, I mean, it's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, to me, there are two weathermen in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Well, three, I guess, is doing a Today Show, Good Morning America, and whatever they have on CBS. but really, it's two.
Right,
I mean, that's the list.
Yeah.
And you're, you know, tomorrow you become one of those two. It's two jobs in America. Like, I mean, that's huge, man. But I remember telling you that night that while you're nervous and everything, that you're soon going to find, in short order, that this thing will become what it is, a job.
Mm-hmm.
It's just what you do, you know? And, you know, I take everything back to Elton John, but it's like the song Rocket Man, you know, that I've always loved that line so much, you know, when he says, in all the science, I don't understand. It's just my job 5 days a week.
Love it.
A Rocket Man. Because people go, wow, he's an astronaut. He's a wow.
Right.
You know, he's a DJ. He's on Good Morning America. Man, this is just what I do.
The job. Yep.
It's just what I do.
Yep.
It's a job.
Yep.
That's all. Just like anybody else. This is what I do.
Yep.
You know, I'm blessed that I love it and enjoy it. You know, maybe as much as some accountant may enjoy doing his thing, you know, but it's still just that, you know,
and you just do it. You go,
you just do it. It's what you do.
Yeah.
And, you know, you never, I don't know. It's if you, sometimes you look back at it. I have to tell you this one moment. VH1 did a piece called Black in the 80s and they had interviewed me for it. And when they aired it, they called me and told me it was coming on. So I'm watching it that night at 9, goes off at 10. 10 is, by the way, when I was working, that was always my rule.
Mm-hmm.
It still is, really. Lights out at 10.
Mm-hmm.
That's my discipline. I got to get up in the morning. So I watch this thing, and the first thing they do is first black on to anchor a morning television show, Brian Gumbel. Then they do the first black to anchor a late night variety show or talk show, Arsenio Hall.
Mm-hmm.
Then they do the first black, they do Cosby. The first blacks where is, you know, is not a janitor and a short order cook or maid or whatever, but a doctor and a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
Then they do Donnie Simpson and Video Soul.
Hmm.
And bruh, I'm gonna tell you, I'll never forget it, man. As soon as it ended, my first thought was, well, how the hell am I supposed to go to sleep tonight? Really? Yeah. Because it was the first time I'd ever seen what I did put into any perspective.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
You know, it's just what you did. You know, it's like, wow, this had that kind of significance. It's like, wow, I guess maybe that was some pretty cool stuff you did. You know, you just don't think about it. You just do what you do,
it.
Man.
Yeah, yeah.
You just, like I said, it's like, damn, another half hour I could be at the Bay having dinner with Pam. You know? I got to go in here and sit here in front of 40 million people. Right. About, you know.
The ones who get caught up in all of that are the ones who kind of lose it a little bit. Mm. And it changes your life in not such a good way. So yeah. I think it's great that you've held on to that humility through all of this. I think the best thing that you can do is what you just said. You just go, you do the best that you can every day.
Yep.
You hope people like it and it's out there. And then you come back the next day and do it again.
Right.
You can't get too caught up in, oh man, this is going to change this. And,
take yourself too seriously.
Yeah. I never have, man. Right.
Yeah. No, you have not.
For something even as simple as, like, I never watched Video Soul. Never watched
isn't
it.
That something?
I mean, on occasion, you know, you go into people's houses and it's on, so you see it. You see yourself, you know. But I never liked watching myself. I never liked listening to tapes. Because I always felt that then I'm trying to make this perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not, it's never going to be
right.
perfect.
Well, tell
I don't want it to be perfect. I just want it to be real.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And, you know, and then that's what it is. If you know, I just never wanted to get caught up in that, man, of trying. I don't know. I just, to this day, I'm Tony, you remember when I wouldn't even read articles and stuff that were written on me.
Right.
I would
that's
ask
right.
you,
that's right.
is it cool?
Is it cool? Yep, that's
said,
right.
Yep, it's
that's
cool.
That's right.
Good.
Well, Tony, right. Tony's great. Exactly the same way because he never watched Video Soul either.
As a matter of fact, before I ever met Donnie,
he wanted to. We wouldn't allow it.
Right.
He didn't want the ratings to go down.
You Beatle loving.
We had a soul meter before you could check in.
That's great.
I'd be at home in my apartment. How come I can't get right. Video Soul?
He's calling his cable provider.
You've been blocked. You're blocked.
Who blocked me? Donnie Simpson.
But that's my boy.
We're out of time.
Oh, man.
This has been a blast.
Man.
This has been a blast.
I've enjoyed it so much. I can't thank
you're
y'all
so
enough for
fun.
Having me on.
You
man.
Are great.
Well, thank you, man.
Yeah.
You are too.
Thank
we'll,
you.
We'll do it again sometime.
Yeah,
thank you for coming
love
by.
To. Thanks for having me.
Yep, love to the family. And
you too.
Thank you. Thank you. Why don't we go out on some Elton John? Donnie Simpson, everybody.
Yeah,
thanks
thank you,
for
man.
Listening.
God bless you.
We'll
man.
See you next time around. Peace.
And I think it's gonna be a long, long time. Touchdown brings me round and get to find. Be a long, long time.
and I think it's gonna be a long, long time. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time.
The Tony Perkins Show. A more broadcasting presentation. This is Dude Walker speaking. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Oh my God.
Wow. You said I would have fun, didn't you?
Wow.
Man, you are so
good. Thank you, man. That was great, man.
You are so good.
You hugged my man.